Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Well, we can talk football today. We can talk real estate. We can do a lot of things because we have our favorite Buffalo Bill in studio. 2 hours with Jeremiah Searles. We may have a Mitch Sherman sighting. He's down in the Little Apple, Manhattan, Kansas, and things are moving and shaking for him. So may or may not have a Mitch Sherman sighting. Great to be with you on Hail Varsity Radio. Welcome to Tuesday, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, 80s action star, is here, and Jeremiah Searles back in town, back in studio. And Searles, you brought Buffalo weather with you. Thanks.
Know. I'm sorry.
No, you're not.
I'm not. I'm right. You're right. I'm not. But I will say this. At least it's not dumping, like, feet of snow.
Right. And you get to live that. Okay, sorry. So you're
much better.
You good?
Good.
Searles is staring at me, and Searles blinks once or twice very intensely. And, you know, your reach is a little longer than mine.
Give you the old third base coach signals. And
right. I mean, or you were just like squeezing my neck like a tire pump. And I need more volume.
So
you're hearing me now, which is good and bad for you.
Good.
But we're loaded up, man. Plenty of football to talk. We'll get into some recruiting. We'll talk a lot about the Super Bowl, Sue and Rex, two of your teammates, Jeremiah. And we'll hear from Zach Taylor. We're working on getting Zach on for a full segment sometime down the road. He had his press conference today. We have some of that audio for you. We can get into Nebraska basketball if you want. Big one tomorrow for Maryland and Nebraska, 6 o'clock tip. We'll be down in the Hale Varsity offices for signing day 2.0.
Nice.
Don't know how busy that'll be, but we'll be live streaming down on the balcony right next to the Cube in the Hale Varsity offices. Can join us today, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Numbers to get in at Schmidt underscore radio, at Searles underscore HSKR71, and at Two Birds One Stone. I started laughing when I was talking because I just, in my mind, I know how big of a Barstool guy you are.
Oh, yeah.
And your boy, Pornroy, got...
Dude, that was the most incredible thing. Got removed.
And then on Twitter, it's emergency press conference, and he's MFing the commish.
Oh, yeah.
And it was nuts. And I'm just sitting here just rattling off stuff. And I'm like, Searles had to see that and laugh. Oh. So let's start with the hijinks around the Super Bowl. A year ago, you're up doing radio with Minnesota radio, and you're doing radio with Denver. And you're just crushing it. You do such an awesome job. You're up there on you're on Radio Row. You're rocking it. And it was in Minneapolis last year. Mm-hmm. This year, obviously, it was down in Hotlanta.
Hotlanta.
But man, you've kind of seen that beast that is Media Week and then the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So for a dude to get ejected, wow. And on top of that, wild's the way. I mean, ripping skinny jeans, him getting freaked out. I don't know if that was a fake mustache or not.
It was.
Yeah, because he made fun of Sue.
He made fun of everyone.
But he went up to Sue
and
called Sue out about, hey, well, you know, we'll meet in the parking lot, bro, if you hurt Brady.
Which would be a bad idea for him.
Well, Sue just looks...
He's so big.
Well, he's so big, but he just...
You look at him on TV
and
he's...
The stare.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they had at one point, like, zoomed in on him in, like, the fourth quarter or something, and he just had that dead stare just, like, directly at the huddle.
Yeah, like, first and ten.
Yeah.
It's like they need to get a three and out.
Yep.
And he's got that serial killer look.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, that's what makes Sue special is he has that killer instinct, and a lot of people take for what he is on the field. But I don't know if you got a chance to watch that special before the game that they did on Sue with Warren Buffett.
What was it? We had basketball.
Oh, gotcha. But they did a great special.
Watching Junior go 0-for-7 from the floor.
Nice. Man, white boy can't jump.
Just like his dad.
But they did a great special on him on how what he does all off the field and how much of a
I saw the Shelly Smith thing.
Yeah, I mean, but he's Warren Buffett. He's smart. He's intelligent. He talked about how he looks at the game from a different view. But, I mean, he is. He is just a nasty defensive lineman that's just going to come after you. And I think it's his personality. It's his on the field, but he can turn it on and off. But yeah, man, that was wild with the Barstool guys.
I had to get your take on that because you've spent some time around him. And
yeah.
Man, it's just dude to get hauled out, like ripped from his seat.
Yeah, I was explaining it all to my dad, actually. I was kind of showing him. I was like, Dad, this guy snuck in. Because he saw the thing. He's like, who are those guys that snuck into the media day? I was like, oh, those are the Barstool guys. Like, They've been banned since 2015 because they protested Roger Goodell outside the NFL offices for like a week. And so I was explaining it all to him. And then I remember I sent a tweet out and I was like, what's the over-under that Portnoy gets into the game?
Mm-hmm.
Because they were like circulating his picture. Like they were looking for like terrorists, drug traffickers, and Barstool. And he gets in.
And not in that order.
Yeah, not necessarily in that order. So he gets in and then all of a sudden he posts a video. I think he kind of wanted to get caught in a way because he posted a video from where he was sitting and then within minutes.
The halftime, he's watching Maroon 5 kicking it.
Yeah, and then within minutes, he is literally gone. And people are tweeting about it. And one of my favorites was Paul Allen up in Minnesota. He tweets, everybody knows the rules. Because that's his thing with the pizza review is one bite, everyone knows the rules.
Yeah.
And so he just goes, everybody knows the rules.
He did a pizza review in Youngstown with Bo.
Yeah.
Over the summer.
Yeah, but I mean, just seeing him get thrown out. And now I think I saw he was on Fox News the other day doing an interview. Like, the beef that they have with Goodell is giving them so much press. It's giving them so much more awareness. I mean, for the fact that my dad, who listens to sports talk radio on the radio,
has since
I was growing up, but he doesn't Instagram and that's Barstool's mainstream. All of a sudden, he's asking me about it. Mm-hmm. Like, who's these Barstool guys?
It's genius.
It's
to get
genius.
Launched.
It's genius.
And by the way, you didn't miss anything. It was 13-3.
Yeah, I mean, he got out and did his emergency press conference when they left. He's like, oh, I'm still here. And he had his fake mustache.
But he lost his mind, blasting Goodell.
I mean,
Goodell's got some dudes in NFL security that can take you into a windowless room with no cameras.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the dude's got enough. He can do whatever he wants. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, especially with like PFT, the guy that does Part of My Take with Big Cat, he was talking about how he got kicked out and put in cuffs at the thing and got
the producer did, right?
And got questioned by the FBI.
I mean, they had the dudes just like ripping his credentials.
It's just a wild thing because I can't believe they got in. I mean, to get into Radio Row and to get into those things, I remember the security is.
So you tell
bananas.
Me, tell me your story. We'll get to Rex, we'll get to Sue, we'll get to game, we'll get to football, we'll get to you. But just going on Radio Row, and I know we talked a year ago about this, but you were between like two gigs, right? Doing shows. So, like, did they go rubber glove on you? I mean, tell me about the security.
Yeah, I mean,
it's your hometown because you were in Minnesota as a Viking then.
Yeah. So, I mean, the way the Radio Row was set up is it was in a complete separate spot that could be viewed, but there were security guards, cops. I mean,
dogs.
Cops, machine guns hanging from their chest type cops, like around it, SWAT guys. And to go, you had to go into a separate place, show your ID, get your credentials, patted down.
Here's the gear.
I mean, yeah, patted down. Okay, here's your credentials. Walk through the scanner, walk through the X-ray machine. Okay, now this person will personally escort you up. You cannot leave these people's side until you get into Radio Row and then you're officially in there. And then once you leave, you have to go through the whole process again. You can't just leave and come back. Like, you can't just, like, run out and get a coffee and come back. Like, no, if you come out, it's like TSA. Like, once you walk back this line, you have to come back through. And
sure.
It was bananas. And so seeing the fact that these guys could sneak in is just mind-blowing to me. It's, like, kudos to them. Like, the fact that they went all the way through and found all these different ways to get in is incredible. But, I mean, yeah, it was an awesome experience. I'm sad I didn't go this year.
Sure.
But it just didn't work out timing-wise, but I would love to go back to another one. Hopefully I'm playing in one. I mean, that's the ultimate goal.
And then, you know, you'll have...
I'll have the fake Portnoy asking me questions.
You'll have the other side of it.
Right.
Where you're taking the questions instead of asking the questions.
I will say this. It was a lot easier to watch the Super Bowl this year, knowing that I was very far removed from it, versus last year, knowing I was one game, like, so close to it.
No, you guys were right there against...
We were just right there, and it would have been in our home stadium. Like, last year stung. Like, watching that game last year, I just sat there with my arms crossed the whole time, just like, hate this. Whereas this year, I was excited to watch the
Philly.
Game. And it was Philly, and they won. And But, I mean, I was excited to watch it this year. I was excited for Rex, but I didn't really think the whole thing. I posted an Instagram of me and Rex after we played the Patriots, and I was like, good luck to my good buddy tonight. I hope you get to host that trophy. didn't really put the whole thing together of like, oh yeah, I'm in the AFC East now. And Instagram
and,
crushed
and Bill's
me.
And Bill's Mafia is like, what are you
Bill's
doing?
Bill's Mafia was not pleased. I definitely had to go on there and put a little disclaimer that I was like, hey, I can root for one of my really good buddies, but not for the Patriots. It's a different thing, guys. And I had to just remember that.
So how did that backpedal go?
It did. It backpedaled. A lot of guys, some people jumped on my team were like, yeah, they went to college together. It's fine. Other people were like, cut him now.
My God.
It was, yeah. And I guess so I backpedaled a little bit and saved face, but I really was just rooting for Rex.
Sure. Well, and that's what, I mean, this whole week, 2 weeks leading up, I mean, it was Team Sue or Team Rex.
Right.
And people are wore out by New England, or you really are invested in New England because it's phenomenal what they've done. The Rams are incredible. We'll hear from Zach Taylor's press conference coming up. Mitch Sherman is in, so we'll talk to him in about 7 minutes,
nice.
Which is cool. But, you know, Rex isn't just a great guy and a wonderful story. He's a hell of a football player that was great at Nebraska, was game-changing at Nebraska. You had him and Helu and Amir. I mean, what a run of backs.
Right.
And what Rex has been able to do, think about how good Rex Burkhead is, okay? And think about Rex's career at Nebraska and the Ohio State game, both Ohio State games, really. I mean, when you guys were playing up there, you guys were kicking ass while he was in and
right.
Didn't hurt.
And he had a gimp knee.
Yeah. And
I mean, he took that one for 90. He probably would have scored if he didn't have the knee problem.
Sure. And then he comes back, puts his Superman cape on, and you grind one out at Iowa.
Oh, yeah.
In 12 to get to the Big Ten championship game. So Rex was totally that game-changer skill recruit.
Yes.
And you guys had a great line at Nebraska. So you fast forward, and as good as Rex is, I mean, we're talking latter round pick.
Yep.
Okay. And he just finds a niche, and there's a new back every year drafted in Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still able to play special teams. He's still able to play tight end and H-back. I mean, or carry the ball. And he's a third down back that runs hard enough to be a first and second down back. And then what New England did that was so cool, and you can speak to this, the different personnel packages you have in the league where they go heavy. Bigger personnel up front, but then there's Rex just kind of grinding it. Sony Michel's a phenomenal back, too. But
James White. I mean,
yeah, that 1-2-3 punch New England's always had since Belichick's been there with the running game has been the difference. They can adapt and hit your weakness, whatever it is, with the back, being a catching out of the backfield or running the football or just being able to keep personnel in.
Yeah, I mean, my big thing, I was talking to some people about it, is New England's always done what I call running back by committee, where they just
It's a great committee.
But none of those guys are the guys that are going to go be the Todd Gurleys or the featured back anywhere, maybe, but they're perfect.
Kind of a strength in numbers
right.
thing.
I mean, I remember when the Patriots signed Rex, and I was like, if that's not the most perfect, like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. Like, Rex is going to the Patriots, like, 100% makes sense, but exactly. Me and Brent were talking one time. They ran the same play with Rex like four times in a row where Rex runs out. Tom Brady sees that it's man coverage because the linebacker runs with him, and Rex just runs a hitch because he's super athletic, and it's 8 yards, boom, done. And that's the kind of stuff they can do with Rex. Or, I mean, it's fourth in game, and they hand the ball to him in Kansas City, and they know he's going to get a yard. They know he's going to hold on to the ball, and like he's Mr. Reliable. He always has been. And I was so happy for him. And because, like you said, they draft guys in Cincinnati, but you never heard Rex, I want to trade. I want to.
No, he just grinded.
He just wants to be part of a team, and he just wants to be the whatever you tell him to do, he's going to accept his role graciously, and he's going to want to do it for you the best of his ability. He doesn't care if he's holding the ball 10 times, 5 times, 1 time. But when he gets the ball in his hands, he's going to make the most out of it. I mean, they needed a first down. They gave the ball to Rex. First down, game over.
Think about Rex, too. I mean, think about the culture, you know, as Nebraska fans with the Friday Night Lights around the metro, around central Nebraska, around western Nebraska. You have your Friday nights that you love going and watching high school ball.
Mm-hmm.
And then fast forward to what invented Friday Night Lights, and that's the state of Texas. And just what type of pedestal Rex was put on because of what he did in high school down there.
Yeah, I mean,
and for him to be so humble, I mean, at a young age, you get that much adulation, you're getting roses thrown at you, and you still stay humble and just keep working hard. I mean, great parents, wonderful attitude. That's not always the case.
Not at all. I mean, right? I can remember the day we showed up to Nebraska as in the summertime. We couldn't work out yet. We couldn't work out yet with the team. So we all just went to go work out as a freshman class. Guess who we followed? Rex Burkhead. None of us knew him from Adam, but you could just feel it coming off of him. Like,
that's the guy
that's
you follow.
That's the guy. And he was the guy for, I mean, the 4 years he was here. And that was just my first interaction with him. And that's still, I mean, if he was on my team, I'd follow that guy anywhere.
Sure. Well, that's what you want when it comes to program building and winning high-level games.
But like you said, I mean, the string of backs we had there while I was here was incredible. Roy, Rex, Amir. I mean, I can't say enough great things about all three of those guys.
No, big time, and you guys helped out, too, up front.
Yeah, we did our best.
You were pretty good. Jeremiah Searles is hanging out. We're here till 6 on Hail Varsity Radio. Going to get caught up with Mitch Sherman. We can talk, well, we can talk a lot of things with Mitch, ESPN.com and Magazine. Zach Taylor press conference. We'll have some highlights from that. We'll get into more about Sue. We'll get into some recruiting, specifically Nebraska signing day tomorrow. And we'll get Searles' take here on that elusive outside linebacker defensive end position and just being part of a group of guys that came in and performed and not just lived up to the hype but won a lot of games. Nebraska's trying to rekindle that with Frost and Company and their recruiting classes. Hail Varsity continues presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Thank you, Kramer. Great to have you back at Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Jeremiah Searles. Colton Stone is in. We say hi to Mitch Sherman at Mitch Sherman on Twitter, ESPN.com and Magazine. Mitch, you're down in the Little Apple. How are you?
I'm a little cold. not super thrilled about the weather forecast as I attempt to come back tomorrow. But other than that, I'm looking forward to seeing a good basketball game tonight that's going to weigh heavily on the Big 12 race and whether Kansas can repeat for the 15th straight time.
That is going to be huge. Kansas, Kansas State. Weber's been money down there at with the Wildcats. And I want to focus on the NFL, i.e. Sue and Rex for a minute. We'll get to some Nebraska basketball. But
sure.
Your thoughts here. Your thoughts on Sue's Super Bowl and your takeaway from what Rex was able to do.
Yeah, I mean, neither of them were giant factors. Sue, the Rams played good defense to hold Tom Brady and the Patriots to 13 points is impressive. I thought, you know, both quarterbacks just looked off their game. Mm-hmm. Goff more so, but I think the Sue's presence there in the middle of that Rams defensive line was a big part of why the Patriots struggled to move the ball or struggled to cash in. I mean, I know the stats weren't there for Sue and weren't there for Aaron Donald, but you know, those guys are a factor anytime they're on the field. And if New England had gone out and scored 42 points, you know, you look at it and say, well, he had one big stop in the backfield, and you'd say he must have played a bad game. But I see it and see that that they scored 13 points, and 10 of those were late. Obviously, the Rams played some good defense, and if they play good defense, those two guys in the middle are doing something right to free other people up. So it wasn't a traditional Ndamukong Suh, you know, 4.5 sacks of Colt McCoy in the Big 12 championship game from 2009, but it was impressive nonetheless what the Rams got done on defense. And, you know, Rex just did his thing. Nice run in the fourth quarter to move the chains and play a large part in sealing it. And just happy for him because I know the bigger thing for him is not scoring touchdowns and putting up 100 yards. It's winning a Super Bowl. And, you know, every time Rex goes to another level, whether it's having success at Nebraska or getting into the NFL or staying in the NFL for a while or having an impact in the NFL and now winning a Super Bowl or making a Super Bowl last year and winning a Super Bowl this year, you know, every time one of these accomplishments happens for Rex, you know, I can't help but think back 10 years and remember all of the things that people in Plano, Texas said about him when he was signing with Nebraska, about how you just don't count this guy out at all. Whatever is out there to achieve on a football field, he's going to do it. And he's exceeded that because he's achieved so much in football that goes even beyond the field. So happy for him to see him get to reach the pinnacle of the sport and have an impact on that game.
So everyone's talking about how this was the most boring Super Bowl of all time. Personally, as a player, I liked it for the fact that defense was involved, which you saw none of this year. Did you actually enjoy watching this, or are you one of those guys that was like, man, I wish this was a 44-40 game? Or did you like seeing that there's like kind of a defensive resurgence in this Super Bowl?
Yeah, I wasn't a huge fan. 0-0 at the end of the first quarter and 3-3 at halftime. I wanted to see more offense. It didn't need to be like the Chiefs and the Rams when they played. You know, that was a little bit ridiculous.
Right. That was not a video game.
Right. I'm not necessarily for that. But those championship games, the AFC and NFC championship game, were great. And this was a letdown after that. And I saw a good defense for sure, but I also saw some guys on the offensive side, you know, especially the quarterbacks, you know, who just weren't making the plays that I'm having watched them play this year that I'm used to them making. And maybe it was my untrained eye, you know, not seeing everything that was unfolding on the field. But it looked to me like there were a lot of lame duck passes that were falling in the open field with nobody nearby. And there were also some great defensive plays for sure. But especially with the way that football has gone this year and the way we've seen that sport evolve at the college level and the NFL level, you get to the final day, the final Sunday, the top of everything in football, and it was a little jarring to see 13-3 and so many missed opportunities and dropped balls and it wasn't as fun to watch as I expected the Super Bowl was going to be after all we've seen in the sport of football this year.
Mitch Sherman's with us. A few more minutes, HailVarsity.com and magazines where you can log on and check us out. You can read Mitch at ESPN.com, and he's down in Manhattan for Kansas State, Big 12 basketball. Mitch, Zach Taylor, your Cincinnati Bengals head coach, did you think that day would happen where he'd be a head man in the NFL?
Well, in the last couple of years, it seemed like it was maybe heading in that direction and somewhat inevitable this year because of the Rams' success and the infatuation with Sean McVay and young offensive coaches. I didn't necessarily see it when Zach played at Nebraska. If you go back and look at it, yeah, sure, you can see traits in him that would make him a very good coach. And, you know, he married the right girl to get his foot in the door for sure. You know about Sarah and her dad, Mike Sherman, mm-hmm. former Packers coach, Texas A&M coach, definitely accelerated Zach's career. I don't think we'd see him here in his mid-30s as an NFL head coach if it weren't for those connections. But that's what coaching is about, and a lot of what life's about is right. Taking advantage of the opportunities that are presented to you. And he's done that extremely well. My lasting impressions of Zach Taylor as a quarterback and as a player and a person when he was at Nebraska were just how personable he was. I never saw anyone have even a little bit of a bad thing to say about him. And that was reflected in my interactions with him too in 2005 and 2006. So yeah, you think about that and it makes a lot of sense that he's climbed the ladder as quick as he has.
Mitch, thought on Nebraska basketball. Huskers are reeling. They have a chance against Maryland, and they fought back against the Illini. It's just never a good place for Nebraska. They just don't win up there, and a lot of teams, depending on what mood Illinois is in, I mean, they have talent there to snuff out about anybody. But, you know, these next few games, if you're Nebraska, you have 9 left. I'm not going to ask you what they finish, but do you think they can continue to show a fight, or is there an eventual point where they hit a wall?
Sorry, I'm watching all of the Kansas Jayhawks parade in front of me in the hotel lobby here in Manhattan.
Did they ask you to join them and for shoot around?
I don't know. I'm surprised they stay in a hotel. I mean, it's like an hour and a half drive from Lawrence, but apparently they do. And I can report that Silvio De Sousa is here, going to whatever kind of meeting the Jayhawks are having right now. But he will not be playing tonight or this year or next year or ever again in a college uniform. But
you were looking them all in the eye, right?
Yeah.
Way off topic as Dedrick Lawson walks in front of me. Potential first-team All-American there. But so Nebraska.
What a contrast. Yeah. You're talking Jayhawk basketball.
Yeah.
2 feet in front of you, and now we're back into Lincoln.
Nebraska would love to be in a situation where it's having a troublesome year and all kinds of things are going wrong in the conference, and still you're projected to be a 2 or 3 seed.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, different world altogether in Lincoln. No, it's you know, it seems to me like it's coming off the rails. I don't think that's too strong to say at this point of the season when we're into February, and is it five straight now?
Yep.
So you know, you see the projections starting to come out now that are not as high on Nebraska and their tournament hopes. And it's looked that way for the last week and a half, maybe 2 weeks. And now the analytics are catching up. But I mean, this is a team that is struggling to win struggling to pass the eye test right now. So we'll see. I mean, there have been turnarounds in this sport and the other sports that, you know, it would not be the first time if Nebraska pulls something out and has a good run at the end of this month and into March and still does some great things this season. But this in no way is what Tim Miles envisioned. And, you know, I think some of it definitely boils down to the injury to Isaac Copeland, but it's deeper than that, I think, when you look at it as a whole. This team did not gel and did not achieve the kind of leadership that it needed from its older players to make this a special season. So, you know, we'll see where that leaves them a month from now, but it's a tough place to be with Maryland coming into PBA this weekend.
Mitch Sherman is down in Manhattan, Kansas, getting ready for Kansas State and Kansas.
Or Wednesday.
What's up?
I said, or Wednesday night, or whenever that Maryland game is.
No, you're good. It's tomorrow night.
Right.
Mitch, about a minute, bud. What happens tonight? Kansas State. I mean, what's Kansas seems to be reeling again for them, and K-State seems to be playing pretty good ball. I mean, is it going to be another heartbreak for the Wildcats, or does Kansas stay susceptible?
Well, you know, this would be right up there in the chapters. This would be a fine new chapter of a Wildcat heartbreak for Kansas if it can win this tonight. The Jayhawks looked a lot better against Texas Tech at home last weekend. Shot the ball much better coming off of that big Monday loss to Texas. So they've just been up and down, and it hasn't been great on the road. The collapse at the end of the West Virginia game was really eye-opening. I mean, this is the year, whether it's Kansas State or Iowa State or Texas Tech, this is the year where the door is just open because of De Sousa's suspension and Udoka Azubuike's injury. I mean, Kansas is lacking a threat inside, and they're not as consistent as they would like to be in shooting the ball. If they shoot it, then they can beat anybody, and they can certainly win in Manhattan. But that hasn't been the case when they've gone on the road in the Big 12 this year.
Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com and Magazine, at Mitch Sherman's on Twitter, and he's down in Manhattan for Big 12 Hoops. Mitch, we'll let you get back to it. Thanks for jumping on. Thanks for making time, man.
All right, good to talk to you guys.
Take care. There he is, Mitch Sherman. So I can see Mitch sitting in the hotel lobby doing the interview with us on his phone, and then here comes a parade of 6'9 freak athletes.
Yep.
Ready to go, make people cry in the little apple.
I've stood next to a college basketball team one time. It's the only time in my life I felt short.
You're not. You're good. Jeremiah Searles is in, our favorite Buffalo Bill. We'll talk some NFL when we come back. Hail Varsity continues.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Back with you, Tail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Can dial up 466-377-6800, 825-5865. And find us on Twitter at Hail Varsity, at Schmidt underscore radio, at Searles underscore HSKR71, at Two Birds, One Stone. Colton, you're not wearing a hat today. It's like ice outside, and you're not wearing, you have 48 hats.
Yeah, that actually,
it you
may
have
more
be, hats,
more
hats than Kardashian has shoes.
Well, I'm trying to do the whole shoe thing, too, but
why? Okay. I've never understood this. I've never, for the life of me, these sneakerheads and stuff.
Carson's like, a sneakerhead.
But why? Like, I know,
I like
guys
them.
I know guys that buy shoes, and they're like, oh, yeah, never worn them. They just sit in the box because they look cool. Like, what is the point?
Well, Schmidt, you've seen my purple ones. They were yeah. the Kobe's, purple
yeah,
Kobe's.
Yeah.
They were like.
Didn't you wait in like line 7 months for that thing?
Well, when they came out, I waited forever to get them because they were expensive. And my fiance ended up getting them from New Jersey because I wear a 14, which apparently is the hardest shoe size to find.
Yeah.
And she paid.
I wear a 14.
I wear 14 too, so we'll flex on Schmitty a little bit.
Apparently.
In his 9.
She just decided to
easy
spend
there,
whatever.
Chimp. It's not a 9.
10?
10?
Easily. Wait, wait, keep going.
9.5?
11 and a half.
Yeah, there we go.
Keep going.
You 13?
No, not 13.
12. Anyways.
But not a 14.
Back to your Kobe 11s.
Yeah, well, they were the first shoe that came out like after you retired or whatever. So, but it was like a limited color that I think they re-released because they just kept changing it. So, yeah, they were a hefty price. And I don't wear them. She would get mad that I didn't wear them as often.
She just rubbed them with
to.
A diaper.
Yeah, wipe them down. I don't know.
Junior's
nothing,
all about the Adidas Boost.
Nothing I can never do.
And then he got these air, whatever the hell, I don't
some.
Know. They cost as much as a freaking bat that would help him get hits during baseball.
Dude, it's the swag, man. Look good, feel good, play good. It's a thing.
It is.
It's a thing.
And guess what? If that's his thing, if he wants to spend money on shoes. And I like shoes growing up, too.
And Fortnite skins.
Difference is I never, like, got them. So we make him chip in. So
that's all right.
You got your Kobe's. That's cool.
Yeah, I try not to go. And because then I'll get, like, the pair I have
what,
on now.
What's your thing,
maybe.
Searles?
UGG slippers. The most comfortable shoe known to man. I've had these for 2 years.
I've had these for 9.
They're incredible.
Never get rid of them.
I wear these in the wintertime, and I wear Adidas team-issued sandals from Nebraska in the summertime.
You're good.
And then I have my cleats.
Yeah.
And that's all you need. My wife would hate me for saying that because she buys me shoes that I don't wear, but
wear the slippers, man. They're shoes.
They're great. Yeah. That's my exact point. They're shoes you don't have to like reach down in the morning and tie them when your back hurts. Like, you just slide them on, slide them
you
off.
Do it.
Ooh, that's
great.
Why I got these ones now. They're slip-on cloud foam.
Okay,
Adidas.
Those are good.
And yeah, they're like my everyday shoe now.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
A day in the life of Colton and his footwear. Let's talk Nebraska basketball. We'll get into Husker football recruiting at 5:25. We'll hear about Zach Taylor at 5. Nebraska basketball, and Mitch said it right. Nebraska's a bit off the rails. We'll have more on Husker hoops tomorrow, getting ready for Nebraska, Maryland. But Searles, you've been a part of a lot of teams. You love Nebraska basketball. You watch when you can. And you have confidence issues. You have execution problems. You have just an offense that has just been awful.
Abysmal.
You have the injury to Cope, which is not good. But you just have a team that has had – they've not gone to that place and responded well with the adversity because of the hype. Things are supposed to be all right. You have the 11-2 start. And guys just aren't playing together, and they're not playing smart basketball. And it's not—it's more of a surprise when they do play smart basketball. They're forcing it because they want to do well.
Yeah.
So it's not like they're trying to go rogue for the sake of showing off. They're going rogue for the sake of, man, somebody's got to make a play, and I want to help my teammates, and it's going from bad to worse.
Right. I mean, you get to this point where you're trying to do something to be the difference. And it's the kiss of death for a lot of teams because all of a sudden you start thinking too much, you start putting too much in, instead of just the quote, I mean, the Belichick, do your job.
Just do your job.
Just do your job. And
you hear coaches say it all the time.
I've heard coaches say it my entire career, but it's the most truthful statement that, like, it can be for any sport. I don't care what it is. if you get one guy that's like, okay, this is my time to spark our team, and all of a sudden, boom, and like you said, it just snowballs, because then everyone's like, I have to do this, I have to do that, we have to do this, versus let it come to you, just stay consistent. I mean, consistency is the what everyone wants, no matter what position, what sport. Be consistently good. Don't make the dumb errors. There's going to be errors. No one's going to be perfect, obviously. But watching Nebraska, it's just like that. Everyone's trying to be the spark instead of just kind of letting it naturally happen. But the problem is you got your guys that should be the spark, guys like Palmer and Copeland, obviously out hurt. But you need those guys to step up in the biggest moments, and that hasn't happened for Nebraska ball. And it's just tough. I mean, who do you look to? I guarantee that locker room's looking around right now of who's gonna be the guy. But the problem is it needs to be the older guys, and they need to tell the younger guys, hey, I got this. But you got to live up to it when you say that.
No, and that's just it. Right now you have the bubble watch that is out for the Big Ten, and ESPN.com has your locks. Absolutely, Purdue, Michigan State, Michigan. And what is very true about the Big Ten is Indiana was just a mess. Nebraska 2 weeks ago drills Indiana. It's the best Nebraska's looked in forever. A little more than 3 weeks ago, excuse me. But point is that's Nebraska. That's the Nebraska team you kind of think of this season, like their high moment. And Indiana's just been a bleep show, right? They were where Nebraska's at. What do? Indiana's talented enough to just go win at Sparty. They did so Saturday night. Maybe that's the wake-up call Sparty needed. But anywho.
That was a great game.
That was an awesome game. It was overtime. And Nebraska dominated Indiana. And Nebraska was close enough to win against Michigan State at home. So, you know, Nebraska's not – the gap isn't Grand Canyon size. It's just between these guys' ears, playing smart basketball, taking good shots, and having any offense whatsoever. So you got Sparty and Michigan and Purdue that are in. They're your locks right now. You have Wisconsin and Maryland and Iowa that are probably in. So that's six. Work to do. Indiana's back on that line that you could talk yourself into. Ohio State and Minnesota both are good. Nebraska has gone from a team that's been a 5 seed to a 6 seed to a 10 seed to now on the bubble to last 4 out because of this stretch they're in. And they are too talented and too veteran to be doing this. And
absolutely.
And yet Tim Miles watch going on, and you hate to have that discussion already in February, but, man, it's just been abysmal, and they're better than this. He needs to get his guys ready to go.
Yeah, you got to get your guys ready to go, but at the same time, you got to be ready to go. I mean, this is if you're a senior or you're a junior and this is your last chance, you're as good as what you put out on tape, and you're as good as your last show. A lot of it falls on the players. A lot of guys talk on team and like coaches and stuff, but as a player, I know that when we're struggling, I want to make sure that like I want to put out on tape what I am. Like,
so you're doing your job.
It's a little bit of self-preservation, but guess what? If everyone pulls back into that self-preservation of just play inside yourself, do what you can do, know your strengths, know your weaknesses, that's how great teams are put together.
That's how you respond.
It's how you respond to being called soft.
Yep, the right way.
Right. You got to respond right way.
You got to know and not gamble losing your team if you call them soft and they say, screw you, crazy Tim, we're done.
Right.
We'll see. We'll wind down hour one. Hail Varsity continues.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Got to be fired up if you're a Nebraska fan. Zach Taylor just knocked it out of the park with his press conference today.
Dude, good for him, man. That is awesome.
Zach Taylor is awesome, and we're happy to have him in Cincy. Great stuff for the Rams. We'll hear parts of his presser today, and then Searles, we'll get your take here on recruiting. Signing day 2.0 coming up.
I won't get on my soapbox like I usually do with your guys' recruiting. I don't think we had anyone post a nice video this year, did we?
No, well, the kid that ended up going to UCLA, the wideout from New Jersey that picked Chip over Scott, did end up doing a video.
Oh, pew.
But I'll say this about Frost and his staff. There's been no video kids.
Thank goodness. I'm out on the video kids.
I know.
I'm out. Know.
So tell me what's coming up for you, brother. You've got a little bit of off season and then back into OTAs and, I mean, I wanted to spend more time on Buffalo, but we've been all over with football and basketball. What's awesome about Buffalo? I mean, it's a job, yes. It's the NFL, yes, but you seem to love it.
I do. It reminds me a lot of here.
Okay.
The fact that they live and die for football.
Snow and wings,
yeah,
or what?
I mean, snow, and you don't see the sun a whole lot, but they live and die for football up there. And I mean, we weren't very good this year. That's no secret. I think 6-10 is what we finished, but I mean, I don't
better than the start,
right? And I mean, I don't know if there was ever 70% or less capacity in that stadium.
It
I
is
mean,
a
Monday,
sold out.
Monday night against the Patriots, that place was rocking, man. And I mean, it's old school football. It's the stadium looks kind of high schoolish. It's got like only one side with.
Is it still Rich Stadium?
No, it's New Era Field.
Okay,
New Era Field. Baseball
back when Jim Kelly was handing off out of the shotgun to Thurman Thomas, it was Rich Field.
Colton probably financed all of New Era with their hats. So
He may have.
So, yeah, it's like old school feel, and these dudes are just blue collar. I mean, they're just all about. It was so not New York that I thought I was walking into. Again, I walked into their week three, no idea what I'm thinking. Okay, New York City. That's all I know, right? Mm-hmm. And it is the most opposite of that you could ever imagine. I mean, blue collar, hard working, beer drinking, Labatt Blue guys, all about it.
We're going Labatt because we're so close
to
the falls.
It's great. And I mean, they're there in full force every Sunday, and they just live for it, man. They're all about it. I mean, our parking lot's open on Friday before home games at 5 o'clock. I'll pull out of work on Friday.
Really? Tailgates?
I'll pull out of work Friday at 5 o'clock, and there'll be hundreds of RVs in this parking lot.
That's
I'll pull
sweet.
In to walk through Saturday morning, and there'll be more hundreds of RVs. I pull out of the game Sunday, and there's bonfires all over the parking lot.
You know what you got to do? This is an idea for you because you're really awesome with the media. We need a Searles cam.
Yeah.
And you need to do the Searles, like, taste of the tailgate or something like that.
Oh, I want to go.
I mean, big old O lineman. You wander through. You do the sniff test, and then you settle.
Oh, if I'm in the tailgate area, I want to go, but it's always before a game. I want to go so bad, but I want to go through a table. You got to do it, right? When in Buffalo, it's like you eat wings, you break white tables. It's just kind of like, it's just how it goes.
You table dive.
I mean, and then for whatever reason, get sprayed with hot dog, with ketchup and mustard.
Sure. Well,
I think I'm out on.
They don't need to go double there.
Yeah, I think I'm out on the ketchup and mustard, but I'll drink some Labatt Blues and go through a table.
You could fire that up.
I mean, it's kind of like college.
But I'm saying a Searles cam needs to happen.
I'll make something happen. I could do it. I mean, Juju did it with Pittsburgh, right? I could make it happen.
Searles, you'd be the most popular guy in Buffalo.
Oh, it'd be a good time.
Get your own O-lineman.
I'm in.
Okay.
We'll make it happen.
That'll be good. We need a camera guy for Searles. Hour two coming up. Hail Varsity continues.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in. It's hour two. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Jeremiah Searles, Colton Stone. Great to have you in. And we'll hear from Zach Taylor. His press conference, extremely impressive with the Bengals. That coming up here in about 25 minutes. It is signing day tomorrow. It is Nebraska signing day 2.0. We'll have the press conference for you. And then we'll be down in the rail yard at the Hail Varsity offices 4 to 6. We'll also Facebook Live it. We'll have Greg Smith, Aaron Sorensen on, and those that do sign. I don't know how many signees Nebraska will have tomorrow. I'm thinking one, but if there is one, we'll have him.
We'll be ready.
If it's just, hey, what a haul for 2019, but we did so well in December. We were good in January.
Is this the first year of that double signing?
Last year.
Do you like it?
You know, it's weird because it is a cluster rush for coaches.
Okay,
Nebraska, it sucks they've not been in a bowl game the last 2 years. That said, I can only imagine if you're in a conference championship game and then bowl game, right?
Yeah.
Because that kind of runs into December 19th through 22nd, that collides.
Yeah.
It does.
So that's when it is? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm so removed. The month of
December, I'm so removed. That first
from
signing day,
everything.
Yes. So, yeah, so I think Nebraska's done a good job. They got a great head start on the 2020 kids.
I like the kid from Minnesota.
Uh-huh.
The O lineman from Minnesota. I think he's gonna be really good.
No, yeah, he's nice. I mean, you've been working out doing your own thing, but you've bumped into some kids down there.
Yeah, I bumped in. So I'm back working out. I mean, Duvall's so great of letting us come back and do whatever we need and giving us space and all that. I mean, really the whole strength staff, Jason, all those guys down there are great. So, I mean, yeah, you get to see the kids. I mean, I ran into Barry a few times. I mean, he's looking big and mean as ever.
I'm talking about Bryce Benhart from Minnesota.
Yeah.
The offensive lineman.
Yeah, he's going to be really good. I mean, ran into Adrian a few times. Just the greatest kid, man. Just you just chat with him. He's just a humble, really good kid. And then Farniak and all those guys. I mean, it's good to see those guys. And I just can't believe I've seen an entire class through Nebraska since I've left. And so, I mean, I'm seeing these kids that are like, yeah, I was born in 2000. Puke. So it's just like, wow. Like, it's just like, okay, cool. And then, but I mean, yeah. So, I mean, it's fun to get down, see these guys. And I mean, talking to some of the strength staff guys, they're just, they're pleased with where these guys are at. And I mean, looking at these guys, they look physically so impressive. I mean, they look physically like they are just geared for war, and it's cool to see them out there. And so, yeah, it's been really fun to be back in, and that's home, man. It's so great to be a chance to just go home and get a chance to run and lift in a place that you grew up. I mean, that's where you become a man is when you come to college. And so it's just, it's great to be home and be back, and I'm excited to see the next wave of kids we got coming in.
Garrett Nelson's another kid out of Scotts Bluff. Pretty good personality, kind of a driven kid.
Yeah.
Has the
wrestler. He was a wrestler, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, so, I mean, he's got the background, and he's a guy that they're going to look at linebacker slash hand in the dirt guy. That's been a topic of conversation, right? Because Nebraska has been unable to close on a couple of outside linebackers the last 7 to 10 days. You have wide receiver, you have offensive tackle, you have outside linebacker position of need. And guys like Tyron Ferguson, still a year left for him. When he's healthy, he's been incredible. And I like Fergie. I think he's really talented. He just missed a few games last year, but Alex Davis, Caleb Tanner's the big kid out of Georgia that has big-time upside. JoJo Doman's a nice hybrid. Brian Dixon's the safety that they've maybe moved to outside backer that ended up redshirting this year. So there's guys on the roster that are here, and the time is now.
Yes.
Nebraska, and I was talking with Greg Smith about this yesterday when we did our recruiting hit, but you don't want to have to rely on 17-year-olds to be your stud pass rusher.
No.
Okay? So I want to go that direction with you. Just the broad discussion about guys coming in. It's inexact to profile a kid and then get him to be all-conference, all-American, award winner, three-year starter, substitute. I mean, you know, the whole the different roles that do exist within a college football team, and then the hype and kind of the sunshine that's pumped from signing day till it's time to play. And Searles, take us through a little bit about just the development process, when you're ready, and then getting back in good graces if for some reason you don't perform when called upon. Maybe some guys don't knock it out of the park that first time they see really consequential snaps.
Okay? Yeah,
you got to get the coach's trust back. I mean,
right.
you've lived it, man, and you're rare because you played as a red, you started as a redshirt freshman, and that was a really good Nebraska team. So it's not like it was during the time you were in Nebraska, nothing was given. You earned it 1,000%. So I need some of those answers, at least from your perspective, because of we're talking outside linebackers. We're talking recruiting classes the last few years where you've had great rankings. You've had really talented four-star kids, three-star kids, and you're still waiting for some of them to pop.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of that, too, is kind of you touched on it, the expectations that are put on these kids before they even get here. You see these kids coming out of high school because the game has to be played recruiting-wise so different now than it had before. You have to, almost as a fan base, engage with these kids to try and almost recruit them as much as the coaches do. Mm. I mean, I see kids on high school that are coming to high school that have 100,000 Twitter followers because every single school that they're recruiting, people are coming at them from every which way saying, come be here, you'll be the greatest, you'll be great. And then when they get here, it's a wake-up call. I mean, you get from high school to college and you're like,
you got to compete and go win the job, right?
I am no longer the best player on my team. I mean, every kid that comes to Nebraska, walk on,
Division I scholarship guy, like you were most likely the best kid on your team in high school. Mm-hmm. And you show up and you're not even, I mean, top 100 guy. I mean, it might not even be close. I mean, there's you get the few freaks that always are going to be out there. But it you have to reinvent yourself. You have to find ways to what's going to make me stand out, what's going to make me different and make me more successful. So, yeah, that outside linebacker position part, the O-line, like those are all positions that you learn from the older guys, you watch from the older guys, but eventually you either get it or you don't. A guy that comes to mind is kind of some guys that we had in my classes, Donovan Vestal, Walker Ashburn, I mean, Jason Ankra, guys that were supposed to be very, very good, and some of them had good careers, but none of them were ever that great standout that you were hoping that they'd become. And a lot of that is because this star ranking process, I think, is something that has to be done. It's something that sells papers, sells recruits, but it's not always what you think it's going to be.
Well, Ankra, a guy that started 2 years at Nebraska, saw snaps since his sophomore year. Played 2 years with the Texans. So the guy was
solid,
but he wasn't
Randy
Gregory.
Right. I mean, and that's why everyone thinks that these pass rushers like grow on trees. But I mean, if you even look in the NFL, if you have a double digit sack guy, you better pay him whatever you want, whatever he wants, because they're not a dime a dozen guy. There's certain positions, I mean, O-line's one of them, that you're going to find solid offensive linemen that you can win with. But, I mean, there's a few greats. But if you have an elite pass rusher, you don't find those guys a lot. And you're starting to see more and more teams are finding one or two guys that are game wreckers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and you look at it.
I think of Vaughn. I think of Mac. I think of Donald.
What's his name?
J.J. Watt.
Garrett or whatever at in Cleveland.
Miles
Garrett. I mean,
yeah,
but you think of these guys that are just true game wreckers, but there's very few. And in college, it's even harder to find them because you're trying to judge a 17, 16-year-old kid, like, can he become that?
Mm-hmm.
Versus, okay, yeah, he's kicking the crap out of these high school kids. Like, when he gets to college,
the karate episode, right?
Like, can he make the jump? And it's the same thing in the NFL. Like, when these kids are kicking the crap out of college tackles, can they make the jump to the NFL? It's a huge jump. And I think that's where we've met and missed a few times here in Nebraska.
How does the miss happen? Is it more about the guy's skill level didn't translate, or is it more about the player not putting in what he needs to put in?
I think it's a two-way street. I mean, you have to be coached and you have to be developed in the right way, but at the same time, you have to have that give a crap factor.
Sure.
You have to have that edge.
You want to be great.
That you want to be good. You, not just great, you want to be good and then be great.
Mm-hmm.
You have to learn how to practice. You have to learn. I mean, one of the things Coach Zimmer, I will always take from me, Coach Zimmer, the year we went to the NFC Championship, was his mantra was, first you learn how to practice, then you learn how to win, then you learn how to handle winning, then you learn how to become a champion.
Mm-hmm.
And I stick with that. Then you can stick anything. Like, first you have to learn how to come into Nebraska and learn how to be just a guy. I mean, it's overwhelming. But then you have to keep developing and pushing. And a lot of that comes from coaching. I mean, strength staff coaches, but a lot of it comes from older guys too. And so, I mean, I think that there was a little bit of a disconnect with the older guys, young guys. I mean, that happens with three coaches in 5 years. It just, it's part of it. And so you're revamping a program. And so I think some of the misses can just be a little everything, but a lot of it has to do with we haven't had that just pure skill guy that guys can just look at and be like, okay, yeah, I want to be like him.
So let's go back to hour one. You're talking about Rex.
Yeah.
And you get there, and some of the guys in your recruiting class get there, and there's Rex showing you guys with the workouts how it's done day in, day out.
Yeah, absolutely. And you see a guy, and you're like, okay, I want to be like that guy. And my hope is Adrian's that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully the guys can rally behind him as a young guy and be that. But then you flip sides to the defensive side of the ball. Okay, who's that guy?
It's Mo right now, isn't it?
It's Mo right now, but who's that young guy? Who's that young guy, the first, second-year guy that you're going to put I'm going to put my bets in that this guy is going to be really good in 3 years. Every team needs to have that, and every recruiting class needs to have that guy, because that's going to be how you groom leaders. That's going to be how you groom future captains, future Hall of Famers, future all those guys. You know what I mean? Everything that everyone hopes that you come out to be. But I don't know who that guy is on the defensive side of the ball yet. I think that that's great to see. We'll probably see something like that in spring ball.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard to find. And we talked a little bit, like in the 90s, Nebraska was so ahead of the curve with being able to recruit guys and find guys and develop guys.
They projected so well and developed so well.
And now it's there's huddle and there's exos and there's you're not finding the kids because the kids are so spread out in so many schools. I mean, there's so many schools.
Everyone knows.
Now. Everyone knows, and then you got to compete with the Clemsons and the Alabamas, and I mean, it's just it's
well,
so
hell, Clemson's
much
even coming into Nebraska's 500 male. Not that Nebraska owns it anymore, but you've got three kids from the Kansas City area that have gone to Clemson the last 3 years.
Yeah,
think about that.
It's just
that's
tough.
That's not a kid going to Missouri. That's not a kid sneaking away to. It's not Zeke from St. Louis going to Ohio State. Yeah. That's freaking Clemson. Rolling into Kansas City and grabbing that Goodwin kid.
Yeah, it's hard to compete with these guys now. I mean, unless you're a powerhouse team that's going to be in the college football playoffs year in and year out, it's tough. I mean, it's tough to be like, yeah, I know you're in Kansas City. Come play for Nebraska. It's like,
well, look at Alabama against
Clemson. Just called.
How did Bama do when it comes to pass rush? They had nothing. They couldn't get to the quarterback.
I mean, you look
that's
at that
Bama.
D-line. You look at that D-line for Clemson. I mean, all three of those guys are going to get drafted
nuts,
in the first three rounds. I mean, Watkins, the kid that didn't even play, and then number seven, whatever his name was. I can't think of his name. But those dudes are freaks. I mean, NFL-ready type bodies.
And by the way, they are ready. A lot of those kids, too, were by their redshirt freshman year, they're starting.
Right.
They're seeing time as a backup as a freshman, and then they're that good. And you have
years like that where you just hit on all your guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's how you become
great. What's the patience level like from a position coach? And you saw it. You connected and played well as a tackle. You could play both tackle spots. You played all three spots in the NFL, all five spots in the NFL. But you've also seen guys that were supposed to be bigger, badder, can't miss dudes that followed you. Okay, that were supposed to take your job. They didn't. I'm talking at Nebraska.
Yeah.
And at what point is there the eject button onto the next class, onto the next kid? Patience level with position coaches.
I think especially patience level with position coaches are everything's hunky-dory until, okay, you have one bad season, and then, okay.
There's some doubt. How do you respond?
There's some doubt. How do you respond? But then it becomes a survival tech. Like, I want to keep my job. You know, I mean, and it's human nature. You got to protect what's yours, protect your livelihood. I mean, you have a family. I'm great friends with Jay Cotton, as you know, Butch.
Yeah.
I mean, his dad's a coach. And so we've got a chance to chat some about the lifestyle of a coach is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that the position patience is something that you do have to learn over time, but you can't, it's not like the NFL where all of a sudden like, okay, this guy, I'm done with him, cut him, he's out. I mean, you sign and you commit to these kids for 4 or 5 years. So you got to give them an opportunity, but it's like you said, you got to earn it.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's given. I don't care what position you play, what level you play at. You got to earn it, and you earn it in practice. You earn it when you're a young guy and you get those cleanup reps when the guys are out. And like we joke, but like seriously, the standard doesn't change type of thing. I mean, that's is it all joking?
Run the ball, Butch. Standard doesn't change.
And all joking aside, like, that's a true thing. When you go in and you get those meaningful snaps to you, like, it's not meaningful to the team. We're kicking the crap out of whoever by 40 points. But that's your opportunity. Okay, he can do it then. Okay, let's work this guy in. Let's work him into the rotation. Let's see what he can do in the first and second team rep guys. And that's
get some confidence
that's
going.
That's the confidence
right?
going. But I mean, you go in and you like you said, you poop the bed and you don't do so great. You got to remember, these coaches are coaching for their jobs too. Like, they're not going to throw someone out there that you could be a liability.
They got to get you ready for that moment. You can't freeze up in the moment.
Right. They can get you ready all you want, but when the opportunity is there, you have to take advantage of it, because guess what? If you don't, there's four people in line behind you that want that.
And they're on the phone with two others to bring you in.
Right.
To bring in during signing day one, signing day two. But good perspective there from our favorite Buffalo Bill, Jeremiah Searles, on the outside linebackers and recruiting. We'll hear from Zach Taylor. That's next. How did day one as the head Bengal go? Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Great to have you back. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt and our favorite Buffalo Bill, Jeremiah Searles. Colton Stone is producing engineering today, contributing. So we hit on recruiting. Let's touch on Zach Taylor. good press conference from ZT today as he was introduced as the Bengals head coach. And you look at Cincinnati as a franchise, man. And I remember the Bengals with Boomer Esiason and their Super Bowl team with Sam Weish in the late 80s. And they had James Brooks and they had Eddie Brown, and they had Crummer. I mean, I remember they're like the really good Cincinnati squads. Then I fast forward to the mid-2000s where they had Carson Palmer and Hoosh Manzada and Ocho Cinco, right? And who's the guy who ended up going to New England? The running back out of Washington. Forgive me.
I know who you're talking about.
Right, and Dave Remington, great Husker, awesome dude, was a long time.
Bernard? No.
No, not.
It's going to really bother me.
He played with Moss and those guys. The 2 years Brady had Pro Bowlers around him.
Yeah, that's going to really bother me. We'll figure it out.
We'll get it to me. We'll get it handled. So Cincinnati's had their moments, but like Cincinnati's there. They get a bye, and the big Polynesian dude wrecks Carson Palmer's knee.
Yep.
Okay, and they've never been the same. They have Dalton. They get to the postseason, but they still don't win one. Eventually, Marvin's gone.
Yep.
And here is Zach Taylor and what he has in front of him. I was looking at Cincinnati's roster, and I know these things change a ton.
Daily.
But you've got a couple of edge guys and pass rushers with Dunlap and another dude that are at double-digit sacks are right there. The run game is pretty loaded. I mean, and Bernard's still pretty good. Mixon's money if he stays out of trouble. And you got and then you still got Green and the Red Rifle.
Yeah.
So you're walking into a decent spot. Cleveland's on the uptick. Pittsburgh's still really good, but they're teetering. And then you have Baltimore.
Another young quarterback uptick team.
That still wins with defense and athleticism on offense. So
I mean, you make an argument that Cincinnati's got. I mean, they have arguably one of the top five defensive fronts in football.
They do.
Carlos Dunlap, Geno Atkins, and Michael Johnson.
Right.
I mean, those dudes are all very similar. I will say this: Cincinnati was very good when Mike Zimmer was their defensive coordinator, and once Zimmer left to go to Minnesota, there was a big drop off
because
Zimmer is that good. I mean, being around him for 3 years, he is a defensive mastermind. I mean, he comes up with blitzes and schemes and stuff that is incredible. So I think that's a big part of it. They haven't found that fit to replace Zimmer and kind of live up to that. But it's like you said, I mean, the problem was they were kind of like the Kansas City were first round in and then see ya. They would be just good enough to get in an AFC wild card.
Or they were really good in an 11-win squad, but then they just wreck themselves.
Right. It was like the train wreck. They can't even get out of their own way type of thing. So, I mean, I'm excited for Zach Taylor. I think that he's going to be, I mean, a great guy for a head coach out there.
I think he's been pretty
he had coffee with Sean McVay, so he must be really good.
Well,
he's had more than coffee, I'm being sarcastic.
Because think about where Goff was right after Fisher.
Yep.
And where the Rams were with Goff year two.
Yep.
With Zach coming in.
Yep.
Working with the quarterback. And McVay's awesome too, but this is an endorsement that right now it isn't flavor of the month. I think these guys are that smart offensively.
I do too. I mean, you don't turn a program around like that with luck. I mean, it's work.
Not only do you turn it around, the free agents you attract.
Right. I mean, they have all kinds of guys that they attracted because they knew that they had the potential to be that good. And it's kind of like we touched on, potential is great until you make that jump. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. You can just talk about it. And so they did that this year. They proved it, and now they're going to get a chance to go prove it by themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, so many guys from that staff are going to be head coaches now and get their opportunities that it's going to be cool to see which guys can flourish and develop and not be, oh, I'm going to be like Sean McVay, but I'm going to be how I want to run things and I will learn and take things, but it's my show.
And you'll hear that here from Zach Taylor. First thing he touched on, and it sounded a lot like Coach Frost in Nebraska, honestly, and it's one thing to talk it in college. Pro is a whole different animal. Cyril's, you can speak to with guys that are professional, that are getting paid, what kind of registers with dudes. I'll have you comment here, but here's Zach Taylor on what he wants to do culture-wise.
We will establish a culture of high standards and clear communication on and off the field. And we're talking meetings, walkthroughs, practice, everything. These players want to be held to a high standard, and we're going to do that.
So what makes Corey Dillon? Thank you, Colton Stone. And Tommy Gimelke, the biggest Viking fan I know, and he was a Soapbox Derby King. If you remember that Randy Moss commercial, I also do. Chimes in on Chris at HaleVarsity.com. Corey Dillon is the guy.
Corey Dillon.
So what winds your guys' clocks in the NFL when a coach comes in? What makes you believe or roll your eyes? Because it is a pro locker room.
Yeah.
And winning is great. Job security is wonderful. Being able to make money and set your life up is great. You're doing something you love and you're getting paid for it. But what is going to really get a hold of a guy in a locker room?
I think it's the you got to come in and you got to be black and white as far as this is how I want to run things, especially in your first year. You got to make sure that you are very concise and very clear and not – I think
this sounded really good
it
today.
It sounded great, and I really think the guys – but what you got to do is you got to win over your vets. You got to win over your vets, guys that have been there for a while, the Geno Atkins, the the Dunlaps, the guys that have been there, done that, the AJ Greens. And if you can get your older guys to buy in to you, and maybe you don't, maybe you have your own private meeting with those guys, be like, this is what I expect from you. And then you're kind of immediately like alpha dogging them, you know, like, hey, this is how I will expect you to run things. I mean, and that's the thing that I think that was great with like McVay is he had guys like Andrew Whitworth, who are 37, John Sullivan, who are 35, and I guarantee you he had that and said, this is what I expect from you. And then that's what they go trickle down to the guys underneath them, like, okay, this is now what I expect from you guys.
Sure.
And it's just a trickle-down effect. And that's how you win a team. That's how you win a locker room. And then once you stick with and you're – if you just stay consistent as a coach with what you believe in through – good, bad, and ugly. I mean, because you're going to have all of them in the NFL season, unless you're Bill Belichick. Then you're going to
they had bad and ugly this year.
They had bad and ugly.
And guess what? He
looks exactly the same on the sideline at all times. And as long as you're
angry,
as long as you're consistent through all that, I think it's really important to like your team will be the heart. You will be the heartbeat of your team. You will be the heartbeat on how things roll. And so I think he will get a good gauge on that. I mean, obviously, he won't know until all the players get back. But that's you build that through OTAs, and then if you, as long as you start winning and you can stay consistent, you'll have no problem. But again, you got to have your vets buy in.
More from Zach Taylor, his press conference today, and Taylor touched on that shared vision he has for building a winning culture.
We're going to be a connected team. This business and this sport is all about the people, and we want people that are all pulling on the same rope with a shared vision. And like Mr. Brown said, you know, we all want to get this thing to the top and we want to play at the highest level and we want to bring great things to the city and to this franchise. And we do that by having a connected team and everyone in this building being on the same page and sharing the same vision. And we will accomplish that.
Everybody wants to win. Everyone wants a Super Bowl. Easier said than done. Is it hard? I mean, I imagine it's just like any team. This is just the highest level. You're going to have guys that kind of bounce and beat to their own drum. And that's so key, isn't it, to get guys to really care about the we, not the me.
Right. I mean, he's going to walk into a team. He's going to have to draft guys, sign free agents. But he has to create a 90-man roster of guys that he believes will share his vision. Guys that he doesn't think will be, you hear the term all the time, cancer
right,
in the
right.
locker room. And it's a thing.
Sometimes cancer is your best player.
Right. And, I mean – as much as people knock on Gruden, I mean, he's been around, done it. He has a vision for his team, and he's going to lead them to that team. Whether he's right or wrong is not for me to say.
He better be right because he got rid of Khalil.
Right. I mean, it's not for me to say. But he's going to come in. He's going to create a 90-man roster of players that he believes are his vision, and then he's going to whittle that down to 53, and he's going to do, like he said, it's all about the people. He has to create a culture full of his people, which is something I'm a part of now, right now in Buffalo, is McDermott is creating a culture now that he's just finished his second year of his vision with guys that he believes.
What do you say to you not to interrupt you, but
no,
how did they hook you? I mean, yes, it's a job, it's Buffalo, but what's McDermott kind of, what made you go, yeah, dude, I want to play for this guy?
Yeah, I walked into his office and he literally was like, Jeremiah, I'm very excited to have you and your family. I think you can really help us. And I want smart, tough, disciplined guys that are going to put us in positions to win.
Boom.
I mean, it's essentially the thesis statement of your coach. Like, what do you want from me? And if you can tell me what you want from me, all of us are players in some regard that, okay, we are conditioned to then try and be whatever you want us to be because we want to win and we know that you're going to be the guy that takes us there. And if we trust you, we're going to give you absolutely everything that we have.
Sure.
And so Zach,
it's getting that everything that we had out of him.
And that's the thing. And as soon as losing a locker room is a real thing. It's 100% a real thing. I mean, and people joke like, oh, how could? But I mean, if you don't have clear intentions of trusting your head coach, it's tough to show up to work 18 weeks out of the year. It's tough to show up on a Tuesday after you just lost and you know that, like, oh, here we go again type of thing. But if you're like, okay, you know what? We're going to come in and I know coach has got my back in front of us. I know that he's going to be hard on us, but he's always going to be the right guy for us. It's really easy to come into work. And I've been lucky that I've been with coaches pretty much my entire career that I felt that way with.
You know, you want that morale, don't you?
Mentally, it's so much nicer to be able to go into work, not just be like, oh, man, like it's just dragging. To whereas even if we were 6-10 this year, I was excited to come to work on Wednesday because I knew we were getting better. And I knew we were getting better, and I knew Coach McDermott was pushing us in the right direction. And so I think these guys are going to have the new coach wow factor right away, but it's going to be when those first adversity hits or the first cut because he doesn't, like, how do guys respond? How do guys look at him? And he's, I mean, I couldn't imagine being a head coach. The things that fall on your plate as a head coach, and I think it takes a couple years to really figure out how to be a head coach if you've never done it. McDermott told us that. He's like, man, I'm still finding new things that I never knew I'd have to worry about because you become so much more than just a position coach, stay in my lane, I coach. Like, you are now responsible for these guys. And the owner is giving you so much responsibility for not just the guys, but the people inside the building, the facility, the fans. I mean, it just it spreads. I could not imagine what the stress level of being a head coach looks like.
Well, it's immense, and this is the highest level. It's the NFL. You have veteran position coaches, and it's not supposed to be a drop room. I mean, it's professional, right? But you have bigger egos, and sometimes you have childish players.
And you do have players that are – you are more expendable than the player.
Look at Pittsburgh.
Yeah. I mean, you tell me that anywhere else Ben Roethlisberger is still there, but because he is who he is and he can say what he wants to say because he is that
good.
Well,
you got Antonio and Le'Veon, too.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes these players are – the coach is more expendable than the player. I've seen it happen.
Absolutely. We'll get more from Zach Taylor. Great to be with you on a Tuesday. It's Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, Chris at HailVarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Miss any part of the show? Mitch Sherman was hour one. Jeremiah Searles has been kind enough, our favorite Buffalo Bill, to sit in today. He's back in town. Good to see you, brother.
Always
and
good to be back.
Colton Stone is driving the bus. You can get the podcast, HailVarsity.com or iTunes. It'll be posted up there. We've hit on some recruiting. We've talked Nebraska basketball. We touched on the Super Bowl. We're spending some time on Zach Taylor and his press conference. Team goals is something that Taylor's all about. He's touched on vision. He's touched on culture. I'm getting Searle's perspective here on that fragile thing that is the NFL locker room with vets and rookies and paychecks and personalities. And Zach's walking into a place that has talent. How will we get them to win? How will it be different? And Cincinnati's had the same guy for the last 15 years, which is very rare in the NFL. But Zach will do his own thing. And here's the team goals discussion Zach had at his press conference today.
I think everybody wants to be a part of something that's bigger than themselves. And when we get the right players and the right coaches and everyone on the same page, which we, which Jerry already have and will continue to do, and it's more important that they're helping the people that are to the left and to the right accomplish something bigger than trying to help themselves, then that's when we're going to accomplish all the things that we want to accomplish as an organization.
Searle's comment on that, it's a wonderful thought, and the reason that New England's where they're at again, where they send out a tweet that says we need a new plane because it only has five championships on the wing, they all pull in the right way. And the Rams did the same this year. They were just a little short in the championship game. Kansas City's a franchise that is stable. You look at Seattle under Carroll, they're pretty good. Buffalo's been up and coming. I mean, you see the league, man. You have friends across different spots. Minnesota, your former team's been pretty good.
Yep.
And then San Diego, the old sheriff, Phillip Rivers.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you see what works in this league. It sounds to me like Zach has It sounds a lot like Frost, but it's the same message with what works, what wins.
Yeah. I mean, it's everyone wants to copy what wins because, again, you look at, like, how has Brady and Belichick done what they've done? I mean, it's incredible, but they've done it because they've done the same thing over and over and over again to the point of nauseam of the do your job, this is how we do it.
So simple, but it's not.
It's so simple, right? But it's so hard to do because, again, like you said, you have 90 guys from 90 different walks of life.
Down to 53.
Down to 53, that then you have to all get on the same page and do what you want them to do. And it's like herding cats, I'm sure. So it's tough to do, but you do. You want to create a culture of winning and doing it for the guy to the left and the right and no other reason besides that. But again, you're dealing with guys that have had no money their entire life, and all of a sudden they've got mom and dad in their ear, and they've got brothers and sisters,
else.
And then like the distractions can just be all over the place. But what he said in there as far as we want to do it for the city, we want to do it for these players, guys buy into that because you want to do it for your buddies.
You can appeal to something bigger than you. Everybody has somebody that they look up to or chase.
Right, and if you can try and like appeal to that, and I mean, I know that I don't want to let the guy behind me down, and then he doesn't want to let me down, and that's the culture you want to create. Because when you create that culture, it's
selfless.
Hard to lose. It's hard to lose. It's hard to lose when everyone's fighting for everyone else because you don't want to be the weak link of the chain. Because when you're the weak link in the chain, then you're going to get replaced, and you don't want to get replaced. So that's a whole other motivational factor.
Yes.
It's just there's so many motivational factors, it's hard to pin your point on what's going to be the best one. But I think that the plan for the guy to your left and your right, you hear it all the time, but it is really, really important that is your true, like, instead of, like, I'm doing this for me, it's like, no, you're doing this for someone else.
I was talking to Russ Hochstein. He played at Nebraska, a great, mm-hmm. great player, and he won two championships with New England. We get caught up this time of year, every year, it seems like, with Russ, because New England's playing for a title. And he was like, I was like, man, what was it like playing for Bill? And Scarnecchi was the O-line coach. Dante is he was just like, that guy's just awesome. And he was like, well, the thing about Bill is you're always on your toes. Mm. I mean, you don't know if he's going to put you in, but you've got to be ready. And Coach McBride backed this up that, I mean, Belichick will sacrifice ability. You're all fantastic athletes in the NFL, but he'll take a little slower guy physically for a smarter guy or a tougher guy.
Or a guy that'll do it his way.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing that sometimes Bill gets criticized for is, I mean, I know they were even saying it, Romo was talking about during the Super Bowl, like, well, they know that they don't have that receiver that can go up and go get that 50-50 ball, so they're going to play tight coverage. It's like, yeah, Belichick knows that he doesn't have that guy, but he knows that he has a guy named Julian Edelman that'll do it the way that he's been coached to do it, the way that he needs to do it, and guess what? He's the MVP.
And he'll win.
Right. And so it's all about finding the guys that are going to do it your way and then making the tough decisions as a head coach is, do I let this guy walk that is maybe an all-world talent?
Does he want to walk? Maybe we can get him at the family discount.
Right. Maybe we can give the family discount. Maybe there's a guy on the street that you know and trust that you've worked with. I mean, it kind of how Mitch talked about it, that football, the coaching world is all about who you know. Mm-hmm. The NFL is all about who you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you get guys that are following coaches that are following players. I mean, I now have had five different offensive line coaches that, to the point when I was getting picked up this year, the O-line coach in Baltimore wanted to get me because I was with him as a rookie in San Diego. So,
gotcha.
I mean, you just don't know what the connections that Zach's made with these guys, that maybe he's got guys out there that he wants to bring in, and that's going to cause him to have to release some guys.
Sure.
So, I mean, it's just a giant carousel, and it's exciting for him. It's exciting for the state of Nebraska to have another head coach. So, I mean, I think he's probably the first
guy in 60 years.
First guy in a long time, yeah. I was going to say, it's been a while. So, I mean, that's exciting for us. I mean,
and he's not that far removed.
Right.
I mean, you remember watching Zach play.
Yeah, absolutely.
You were probably in Boulder when he was slicing up Colorado.
Yeah, I mean, I remember watching him play, and to see him where he's at now is incredible. That's awesome for him.
It's
and
fast.
I mean, I can't wait till I see all the Bengals gear at Shields over there on 27. It's going to happen.
I was asking Jay yesterday.
It's going to happen.
Jay roomed with Zach. And I'm like, so when are you getting your Bengals gear? Like, I know one guy, Lars Anderson, the writer, and he was the biggest Bengals fan growing up, but that's because it was Ken Anderson. And I mean, Lars is a little older than us, but yeah, we remember Boomer and Dave, and go down the list of the number of times Welcome to the Jungle played on MTV when Cincinnati got to the Super Bowl is pretty good. We'll wind down a Tuesday edition of Hail Varsity Radio. Jeremiah Searles is in, Chris Schmidt, and Colton Stone, producing engineering. Can send an email, chris@hailvarsity.com, and can give us a follow on Twitter at Searles. Give it to me again.
Searles71
underscore HSKR. I've had that about seven different ways. Forgive me.
It's all right. They'll figure it out.
And can find Colton on Twitter at @2birds1stone, @Schmidt_radio. I want to remind you, something's got to stop that motion. Do you want it to be a seatbelt or a windshield? Seatbelts prevent excessive injury when your vehicle and your body need to slow down in a hurry. That applies to when you're in the driver's seat, the passenger seat, or the back seat. And buckle up now, click it or ticket, a message from the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office. Don't forget Signing Day Extravaganza here in Lincoln on ESPN Lincoln. Have the press conference for you with Scott Frost at 2 o'clock. And then we're live 4 to 6 down at the Hail Varsity offices. Plenty of recruiting. Get thoughts from Greg Smith. Those who do sign tomorrow, and I'm thinking one's the number, we'll run that player down. We'll get reaction and recapping the official class of 2019 from all the great folks at Hail Varsity. And then we might sneak in a little Nebraska-Maryland as well, as that tip-off is at 6 tomorrow.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Okay, Searles, what did you eat on Super Bowl Sunday? I just fawned over Uncle Nate's wings on the smoker because his smoker's phenomenal and it was working. Mine is not. A little frustrated with that. Sad. I pigged out. I mean, I had shrimp, I had wings, and I'm sorry to bore folks who heard me just go, oh, food crazy yesterday. But, man, you know how to get down. What'd you eat?
So my wife loves to host. It's one of her favorite things to do. So we had people over. My parents were in town. She got a New York strip roast. Oh, it was delicious. And she cooked it up nice.
Oh, wow.
And then we sliced it up with some Hawaiian rolls, made little sandwiches.
Right?
Yeah, made little sandwiches. We had some like salami with some almonds. It was very high class over at the Searles household. Then we had Goldenrod brought for dessert, which is a bakery, a Goldenrod bakery. It's like a vegan bakery, but it's absolutely amazing.
Okay.
It's so good. And then we had, what was some of the other stuff? She'll kill me because I should remember all. Oh, homemade spinach dip.
See, that stuff's
homemade spinach dip, which was awesome. Ate way too much.
I
got to
get you Joe Mama, my mother. Her cucumber dip.
Ooh, I'm all in for that.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah. So we had that. We had the spinach dip. We had all of that. And then we finished it off with, I got a bunch of Empyrean beer over at Laszlo's and brought that over and had way too much of that. So we pigged out, that is for sure. My buddy Spencer Edwards was over, and he's not a big guy, and he had like 9 sandwiches. It was impressive.
That's so good.
Dude, he was putting them away.
Put it out here again. You had a New York strip roast.
Yeah, so, yeah, I didn't know this was a thing, but apparently this is a thing.
I got to tell Mom, ask Mom where she got it. So we got
to
try it.
It wasn't it like Hy-Vee. We had to call like a meat place. Like, yeah, I called Hy-Vee, and I was like, hey, you guys got a New York strip roast? And they're like, excuse me?
You got
like,
a picture
okay,
of
yeah,
one.
Never mind. And so, yeah, we had to call some like actual like butcher shop, but they had it, and it was really, really good. I had a sandwich, the leftovers. I had the sandwich on Monday. I mean, it's about the only leftovers I'll eat, but yeah, it was a fun day to have everyone over, and my wife loves the host. She's great at it, and so it's fun to have people over. I end up having to do all the dishes though, which sucks. So
I have, you know what, man, I have given in. Like if I go with my folks host, I'll go for holidays, I'll just start doing the dishes. At least I can do, because my mom and dad always like spring for something big time. Like they'll do prime rib or they'll do a pork. I mean, they'll do something. My dad's just a fiend, and I mean that as a compliment on with a smoker and stuff.
Yeah.
So, no, I'll do the dishes.
Yeah, I mean, that's my thing. Wife cooks, I'll do the dishes. I have no problem with it, but it's just like when she cooks like that, I'm pretty sure she uses every single dish in the kitchen.
So, I mean, I'm doing dishes.
It's fun to entertain.
I'm doing dishes for like what I feel like is just ever.
Oh, and you
like,
are.
As we're like cleaning up, there's just like more dishes that pile up.
So you've got the platter plate. Oh, we don't need to use a plate. Give these guys some.
I mean, especially after I'm like six, seven beers deep and I'm standing over the water just washing pot after pot. Yeah. Not great, but it was a great time. I mean, we had a good time.
That's funny. That's pretty good. Cyril, you're awesome, buddy.
Hey, I appreciate you
having
me on.
Good to see you, man. Thanks for coming in. Colton, thanks for hanging out today. Big thanks to Mitch Sherman. Signing day 2.0 tomorrow with Hail Varsity. Be sure to get it locked in, hailvarsity.com, or for sure, get us followed on Twitter at Hail Varsity for signing day extravaganza, press conference, and then the show tomorrow. We'll Facebook Live it, we'll stream it, and run down the class who signs and thoughts on Nebraska and Maryland as they get ready at PBA. Chance for Nebraska basketball to get off the mat. Big thanks to Jeremiah Searles, our favorite Buffalo Bill. Chris Schmidt back at you tomorrow at 4. Thanks.